Gene Harris on piano, and Scott Hamilton and the Scott Hamilton Quintet with Blues for Gene from their 1990 album, At Last. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and things are kind of heating up for Donald Trump. Just yesterday, just to recall, I talked about the bizarre space that we're occupying. I called it the Twilight Zone, in which all of this craziness is going on. And the people of the United States seem, well, you know, not unduly upset about it. Today, however, we have more than 800,000 federal employees definitely not knowing where their next paycheck is coming from. And we have a totally tone-deaf president saying, well, he knows what it's like not to have a paycheck. He identifies with them. But you know, I have a feeling that it won't be too long before we see signs that people are just fed up. They've had it with this president and his administration and his strange antics. And they don't want it. Well, one of the indicators that we've seen is that I saw a recent poll saying that more and more Americans are planning or thinking seriously about leaving the country. What the country has become just does not fit with their idea of an American life, if you will. That is quite jarring, I think. And we have places like New York State where that is experiencing. The state of New York has experienced in the last couple of years the largest out-migration of any state in the country. All these things are suggesting a major tremor being felt by people. And they're beginning to see to other options. They cannot, and it's not like the other options are guaranteed to work. It's just that where they are, they just don't see that they could live a decent life there anymore. That's quite an indicator, but of course it doesn't register with this president or his administration. They just choose to interpret it as, well, people making choices, exercising their options. Representative Nanette Barragan of California, a member of the House Homeland Security Committee, said yesterday after she visited an area along the U.S.-Mexico border that the, quote, national security crisis, unquote, that President Donald Trump says exists there is, as she put it, this is her word for it, it's manufactured. Now, that's a pretty big statement, but not at all far from what it is we were talking about just yesterday, before she made that pronouncement. This project, this wall, which has gone through several mutations, depending on, you know, Trump calls it a plate, it's called a barrier, it's called all kinds of things, except what it is. It's a wall, which is what he wants. We read that a long time ago. This president concocted, made up a whole narrative that does a lot of double duty. It plays to the racist beliefs of many in this country who, in their feeble thoughts, thinking that a wall is somehow going to protect them against the rabid brown people coming across. And of course, that's silly. We have studies from the government itself showing that illegal entry into the United States is not along its borders, but it's at its airports. I mean, that's been a long established fact. But suddenly, if we can all get used to the argument and adopt the argument that illegal entry into the United States is largely by brown people from Central and South America, and especially Mexicans, and they're somehow finding their way across the border. And that is why the United States needs to build an impenetrable wall that it costs a little bit of money, not a lot, just $5.7 billion. And then after this wall is built, we're talking about other costs that would cost several billions of dollars more. They're thinking that it would cost a couple more billion dollars to staff the area with security people. And then you will have to have judges, and you have to have a place to put the people, which means there's a whole complex of construction projects that comes with the wall. So it's not just Trump and his $5.7 billion wall. It is beyond that, because the wall by itself, he will next make the argument, the wall by itself means nothing unless there are personnel to basically ensure, double ensure, that the wall works. You need to have a place to arrest people. Once they're arrested, you have to have a place to put them. You have to build that. You have to have judges to go through their cases. You have to have personnel to process their papers, and you have to have a whole system to glean through the masses of people who will be coming over the wall, or maybe even under it. So this $5.7 billion is really a project two or perhaps even three times as much in cost. There is no There is no rationale for it. Trump, of course, lied, which is what he does. He's a megalomaniac. And said that the four living presidents, they all approved of this project. They all approve of this wall. They themselves said, that's news to us. Not one of them said they approved the wall. Not one. But you know, Trump has no shame, and he's a sick man. So these things don't unduly disturb him. The fact that people keep pointing time and again to his lies and deceptions. But it is time, I think, that we seriously, take very seriously this business of an unbalanced president, mentally unbalanced president, who creates his own laws, creates his own rationales for doing things, totally bypasses Congress, refuses to submit to any system that looks remotely like a system of checks and balances. He doesn't understand that. He believes this is the United States of America's is personal property, as are the employees. This is what is behind, this is what drives the insane decision. It's the only word I could think of. The insane decision to imperil the livelihoods of more than 800,000 people and their families. That sits well with him. And it shows that there is no one. There is no one close to this president who could rein him in. There's no one close to this president who could say, this is not going to be done. Or if you want it done, you have to go by the system that is in place. The White House doors have become revolving doors of people leaving the administration and people who feel they cannot reach this president. He is beyond being counseled, which means the president is beyond reach. He's in his own world. We don't know what that world is. Although we have seen some aspects of it, a world in which he is God. Well, actually, he's bigger than God. He's better than God. And people just have to put up with what it is he plans to do, because being God, he knows what's good. But as Representative Nanette Barragán said yesterday, this is, as she put it, and we can't ignore the word that she used, it is a manufactured project. What does that mean? It means that we should look, or somebody should be looking, at the possible reasons for the president manufacturing this gigantic project. Well, I gave you my thoughts about it yesterday. People in Congress, or in elective office, many of them, of course, they happy to be elected, but they abuse their power. And that is their intention. The intention is not to serve. The intention is to use their position of power and abuse their position of power in order to secure themselves and their children and grandchildren having access to these resources, which appear to be endless. All Trump has to do is to decide which project looks easiest, and that project will generate wealth. And as we know, with the Trumps and others, wealth is generational. So he's not doing it for the here and now. It's for the future, future wealth. I strongly believe that that's the primary motivation behind this, as the Congresswoman said, this manufactured crisis. That is not to say there isn't a crisis. There is a crisis on the border. But the crisis is humanitarian. The crisis is not one of people doing whatever they can to get to a processing center so that they can apply for asylum. I mean, people who are crooks, people who are trying to harm America and Americans. Use your head. Would such people likely bother to go through this process of walking thousands of miles and chancing ill health and disease and even their own personal safety, and then file a form with their pictures on it? I mean, is this a new kind of terrorism that we're learning about? That they would go through all of that? No. People are following, this is the irony, the very people that Trump says are the undesirable people. These are the rapists and the crooks. These are the flotsam and jetsam of society. We don't want them here. They bring nothing but disease and crime and the inability to speak English. Right? Very different from his wife from Slovenia and her father and her mother. But you have a scenario here in which propaganda is at full force. People are being asked to take a leave of their senses. And there's even a formulation of how we are to think about these 800,000 people who don't have a paycheck, who did nothing wrong. They weren't disciplined for some problem that they created at work. They just were told, you don't get a check, but you are required to work without pay. Now, this being done in the open is the greatest example yet, I think, of fascism in this country. that a president, no less, can make a unilateral decision that more than 800,000 people will not get paid for work that they have done. It's the first time I'm hearing about this. There's no emergency. There is no national emergency here. There is just a president, mad as hell, that he's not getting his way. And not getting his way fast enough. So he pulls a stick up. Like I said yesterday, it's like a guy going into a bank and holding it up, demanding all the money in the vault. And if he doesn't get it, he kills everybody in the bank. It's just the same mentality, the same idea. But it brings us even closer to the point that I think that members of Congress ought to be considering. Does this not suggest that the president is suffering? He has a psychological and mental problem. His behavior suggests that of a tyrant, a despot, a person who seeks, deliberately sets out to hurt people for no reason other than in his head, he has the power to do so. And what he desires is to be feared more than anything else. He is to be feared. So he starts here. He starts here. And again, I'm looking to see who among the people, which sector of the population finds this to be not just objectionable, but intolerable. This is not just about impeachment. We're talking about a process by which we uncover in this president all the things that he has done and all the things he has directed his administration to do that are antithetical to what we loosely refer to as democracy. He has nullified the legitimacy of Congress. In his head, it's not needed. I make all the decisions here. So why are we voting? We have a one-man state. What is the process of voting supposed to accomplish? When we allow and we aid and abet in some cases the emergence of a tyrant, and we look anywhere in the world where we have seen the emergence of tyrants, we see the same psychological profile or very similar psychological profile. This should cause us to revisit the question, who is this guy? And how do we dare chance it to keep him as the head of state and commander of the armed forces? I mean, this are not just, you know, questions around the dinner table. These are serious questions that we ought to be grappling with as a nation. The president is out of whack psychologically, emotionally. And I am willing to bet you that the people who should have been looking deeply into the president's background would have spotted this in him by the time he was in his teens. His behavior today is not so out of sorts with his behavior when he was a child or a young man. This is his behavior. And we are likely to find multiple instances in which people were concerned about this president and his mental health. In fact, one of the reasons that Donald Trump was sent to military school was that he was so undisciplined and uncontrollable. His parents couldn't handle him, and so they decided to give it to somebody else to see if they can fix this guy. And they couldn't. How often have we seen this kind of profile in various societies where you have emerging from among the people somebody who is welcomed as a leader only because he talks about the things that are wrong, the things that need to be corrected, the things that need to be done, and the things that he and he alone can do? And you have good, sensible people liking the idea and saying, yes, I could see this. I can see the possibility of supporting him to be in charge. And so they vote for him. And he turns out to be a disaster in more ways than one. Don't forget, this isn't just our problem in the United States. Foreign governments have already expressed dismay, shock, that Donald Trump is actually the president of the United States and people of the United States actually elected him to be president of the United States. He's limited in his preparation, in his understanding of the world. He has a very closed view. He doesn't read. He's exceedingly insecure. And he's a racist. His policies reflect that. And even some of the things that he has said and done just boggle the mind that nobody, let's say he doesn't figure it out. Let's say he was just not thinking. There's nobody who could compel him to behave differently and act differently. Nobody, it seems. And as you know, Trump's tenancy in the White House also has ushered in a cacistocracy. What is a cacistocracy? It's government by the worst possible people in our society, by the worst elements of our society. That's what we have. It didn't take long, just 2 years. Just 2 years to enter into full blown madness all the way around. And the feeling we are encouraged to adopt is, well, it will all work itself out. After all, the Democrats are willing to talk, and Nancy Pelosi is at the helm, and we should soon see some kind of movement, because after all, even what he does, the president, even what he does in suspending pay for more than 800,000 people and feeling okay about the idea of it, you know, they'll fix it. It's not as devastating an issue as we think. It's just a thing that happens. You know, it's like it's part of the strategy of the game of governance. Some people are going to get hurt. But that's the name of the game. They shouldn't be suffering if, in fact, they were smart people. They wouldn't be suffering. They would set aside some of their money to tide them over in hard times. They didn't do that. So no wonder they'll suffer. This is a kind of warped logic. But I say this to really drive home the point again, that we have enough people at various levels of authority and expertise have agreed. This president is not suited for this job. He's a danger to this country. He's a danger to our collective progress and security and safety. And there must be a way to solve this, and solve it soon, because we are well down the road to perdition. Like I said, it took only 2 years to convert people, logical people, lovely people, nice people, into something completely different. Nobody is the same. We have all been conditioned in just 2 years to accept the abnormal as normal. I am not moving, because I thought I've given him, the president, the benefit of the doubt. I am convinced, as I said, from day one. From day one, if you've been listening to this program, I pointed out all of the signs of a president who is off kilter and who inevitably will grow to be a danger to this country. People said, oh, come on. Are you being dramatic? Am I being dramatic? Am I being dramatic? We'll take this break, come back right after this, to your calls at 888-874-4888 right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Yatrice Lead. And we're taking your calls at 888-874-4888. Just one note, one more note. And that concerns Whoopi Goldberg, who yesterday went into lecture mode. She's, of course, the host, as you know, of ABC's morning gabfest, The View. And she took aim at Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from the Bronx. And she kind of jabbed her for criticizing the Democratic Party. She said that Ocasio-Cortez's criticisms were out of place. But then she advised the following. She said, the history-making, newly seated congresswoman should, quote, sit still, unquote, and, quote, learn the job, unquote. I thought that was a most unfortunate comment. And I don't know that Whoopi Goldberg would have instructed Meghan McCain, the latest addition to the panel, the daughter of the late Senator John McCain, to do something like that, to sit still and learn the job. I thought she was on a high horse and riding along the low road by making these comments about the young congresswoman, who, by the way, as I said, I think she's brilliant. And instead of taking on the role of protector and PR director of the Democratic Party, it would have been nice to know that Whoopi Goldberg was holding some kind of a reception to welcome not just Ocasio-Cortez, but other women as well to Washington, D.C. A missed moment, I think, but this is life. So let's move on to your calls. Clara from Philadelphia, we begin with you.
Hello, Yatrice.
Hello.
I just want to say something about Whoopi Goldberg's remark. I didn't hear it or see it. I think that remark is a reflection of her ignorance concerning her value to the Democratic Party. How does she realize how little concern the Democratic Party has for her or other black people in this country, or even poor people? They're in a syndicate with the others. She doesn't understand. The reason I called was that I wanted to give express an idea I have for a revolt. I'm not talking about going into the street. I'm just talking about the possibility that people could consider of preparing a tax return and putting it in a drawer. Because it could stay in that drawer for a while, just like this this starvation of public employees, United States employees could last forever. That's just an idea.
What would this do?
Oh, what it would do would be, there would be, if enough people did it, that would mean less money coming into the treasury. And I know some people would say, well, I need my refund. It's a refund on money that has no interest in it, but I know some, and everyone wouldn't do it. But it's a matter of, you know, oh, God, we're not getting the returns. Okay, we didn't, a lot of people didn't get paid. It's just, it's a gesture of revolt. It doesn't do a lot. It just shows that people are doing something. I don't see what we're doing at all. If people would go to the streets, even at my age, I'd go out there. I'm not going out there by myself. And I think the reason people aren't going out there is they don't feel that other people would have their backs. And so it's like a catch-22. So I sit here and wait and see what he does. And that is really a disempowering stance. It's like hope.
Well, I think you're right, and this is what is frustrating me, too. I don't see us reacting the way we ought to be reacting if, indeed, we are conscious people and progressive people. And we, in the face of this massive assault on totally innocent people, it's not like they deserve this. It's not like they've done something to deserve this command that they work without pay. I just wish that we could, you know, I wish I could wake up tomorrow and I'm part of a massive movement that faces down this president on this question, because it is wrong on so many levels. And it is unacceptable on so many levels. I just wish that I could see that. I could see this mobilization. But I don't know. Maybe we're just beaten.
Yeah. I think it's a matter of the, when they talk about the crab in the boiling water or the frog in the boiling water. You see, for the last several decades, we've been under assault. They call it like a stab of a death by a thousand stabs. A stab here, a stab there. Then you get to this monster who unleashes a huge assault. And maybe mentally and spiritually, the country is so weak. Because for many reasons, I mean, it's physical, it's mental, it's education. See, our education has been so downgraded. I talk to people who've been to college today, Utrecht, I'll give you an example. I have a grandson and a granddaughter-in-law who went to two of the best colleges in Philadelphia. They did liberal arts study. They don't think. They go to the doctor with their little baby, this beautiful child who has, I think it's a reaction to the vaccine. First of all, they wouldn't even listen to any of the information I sent them on vaccines. They have their minds closed and focused on a kind of a modality, the way they're taught to not think, but react. And I think that's generalized through the culture. This would not have happened in the 50s, in the 40s. I know. I was there. People reacted. We had unions. I mean, wouldn't dare do anything like this. So this is a new world we're living in. It's hard to get used to because it's a self-defeating, almost suicidal world. When you don't take care of yourself, when you can't take care of yourself, won't take care of yourself, and that goes into the health and everything else, it's a suicidal life. So it's very sad. And I think you do everything you can to get people to react in a normal human way. and it doesn't work.
Well, we still have to try. We still must try.
We must
try.
Thank
you, Cara.
But can I say one more thing? We try and
sure.
We think of how we're going to deal with it when it all goes down, just in case I'm right, okay?
Just in case.
Okay.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
888-874-4888. I think there is something to what Clara has said about how beaten down we are, which is why in the face of such an obvious need to respond differently, we don't see much of a response. Not even by those entities that are required to respond, such as unions. We don't see it. We just don't see it. And our country, just the same, is going deeper and deeper and deeper into an abyss of corruption, of disembodiment, of people not knowing, you know, what is this? What does it mean, after all? What does it mean to say that you're living in a democratic society and that you're voting? And that the President of the United States has credibility, is prepared to do this job, is listening to the people, is not nullifying Congress. What does it say when none of these things causes a crisis? It doesn't cause a crisis, but the claim of an unbalanced president that there is a crisis causes a crisis. What is going on here? How far are we away from the big catastrophe, or are we experiencing it now without knowing? I don't know. I've been quite depressed, in a way, since this happened. Stuart from California, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice.
Hello.
You know, in listening to a lot of shows and a lot of people complaining about Trump, I don't hear anyone talking about how it is that he's even in the White House. I don't hear anyone talking about the system that put him in there. And you talk about other countries saying that, well, this is what the Americans wanted. They voted for him. Hillary won by 3.9 million votes, and Trump gets in the White House, and the same with Bush. It's the Electoral College. And getting rid of the superdelegates does a little, but it's not enough. We got to get rid of that system. Otherwise, my vote doesn't count for anything. 3.9 million votes in a couple of years ago did not count for anything. It was the Electoral College. But I don't hear anyone talking about that. Maybe a little bit here and there, but it should be as talked about as the complaints about Trump. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I think by necessity, we have to focus on the immediate situation. The immediate situation is that we have a president who unilaterally declared war against 800,000 federal workers. They are working, but not getting paid. And this was his unilateral decision. And it completely goes outside of what we understand a decision-making process to be. I don't know that this is where I'm fixed right now. Frankly, I've said it before. So I don't know that the election of Hillary Clinton would have been preferable. I mean, based on the programs we've done here about Hillary Clinton and the Clintons, and their the highly illegal and highly questionable things that they have done all over the world.
I'm not talking about that, excuse me. I'm talking about the whole system. She beat Bernie because of that system.
Well, you know, I don't know about that, because we criticized Bernie Sanders too. I mean, nobody here is clean.
I know that.
Is so corrupt that nobody gets out of it clean. Nobody.
But I'll tell you something. I mean, people are talking about the 2020 election, and it's even been said that Trump is already starting to campaign with his this wall business, and he'll be able to say that the Democrats kept us from having it. And he has convinced a lot of people that we have a lot of danger happening down in the corner of the U.S. I know it's not happening, but I've heard people say that this is the way he's going to do that. And with his declaration of emergency, I don't know.
He can't unilaterally declare an emergency. He just can't.
I know, it's such a joke.
He can't do that. But again, it's an example of how dedicated he is to not following any kind of order. He's dedicated to chaos. He's dedicated to lying. And he's dedicated to making people miserable and fearful. That's what he is doing. But he has almost by now, it must be 20 different lawsuits, many of a criminal nature, that he's got to deal with before 2020. So we'll see whether he can count on people believing him up until 2020. We'll see whether people will still hold on to Donald Trump as their, you know, their Lord and Savior.
Yes, I know you're focusing on this business right now, but every time I hear anything on the radio talking about Trump, this is where I go to. I am stuck on this.
Uh-huh.
The system that no one knows about, it seems, a lot of people aren't aware that, I mean, I don't care if it's Hillary or someone else, the person won by 3.9. Trump lost by 3.9 million votes, but he was awarded the White House. I can't get off of that. I mean, sure, I care about all these other issues.
I think you have a point.
Every time I think about that or hear about that, this is where I go to.
Well, you have a point. And it works, again, in our history, we see that the parties take turns. The parties take turns as to what is to their benefit. They break the rules all the time. They bend the rules all the time.
Yeah.
Even now with this new Congress, a lot of it skirted rules that were long established, that had to do with leadership of the Democratic Party, had to do with the same issue that you raised about superdelegates. So, you know, we still stuck with problems that went on because, you know, maybe at one point the Republicans were able to make these rules work for them. At another point, the Republicans were able to make these rules work for them. So we are stuck. The point I'm making is we are the ones who are stuck. And in large measure, we're stuck because we refuse to do anything about it. We keep looking to the people causing the problem to solve the problem. It's not going to work. We look to the Democratic Party and the Republican Party in the sense they're the same party.
Right.
We are the ones who are confused. We are the ones who are not coming up with ideas for how we get these parties off our backs. That's our job. And we're not doing it. Thanks for your call. And that brings us to the end of our program today. We still must continue talking and trying to find ways out of the morass that we're in. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.